Parashat Vayera this week, which is another of these action-packed Sidrot. There's so much in it, we're just going to look at a few themes here and there. Want to start at the very beginning, with our opening pasuk, Vayera Ilav Adonai Be'elonei Mamre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham in the terebinths of Mamre, V'hu Yoshev Petach HaOhel. He was sitting outside the tent, at the entrance of the tent, K'chom HaYom, in the heat of the day. So we're familiar with Rashi's commentary based on the Gemara in Masechet Bava Batra. This was Shlishi Lemilato. It was the third day after the Brit Mila of Avraham Avinu, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to be Mefakeh Cholim, and he could see that Avraham was distressed about not having guests, etc., etc. But let's look at another, some other perspectives as well. Let's start off with the Kli Yakar. So the Kli Yakar tells us that Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Yeah, Hashem appeared to Avraham in the Elonei Mamre. For Lo Ne'emar, it doesn't say Vayera Hashem el Avraham. Okay, he's saying that. Look at the opening verse. It doesn't. It just says Hashem appeared to him. It doesn't mention him by name. It doesn't say that Hashem appeared to Avraham, which we might well expect in the opening pasuk of a Sedra. Now, of course, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, he didn't write it in Sidrot. But nevertheless, the fact this is a new Sedra indicates in some way that it's a new sequence of events here. Why does it not say that Hashem appeared to Avraham? Why does it just say this it appeared to him? So we're going to see an important lesson from the Kli Yakar. Lefi sheshmo va'atzmuto hayu shnei hafachim. There was Avraham as the person, and Avraham as the name, or that Avraham is a personality, and Avraham is a named individual. Ki Shemo Avraham, what was his name? His name was Avraham. Why was he called Avraham? Al Shem Avhamon Goyim. We learned this from last week's parasha. He was the father of many nations. Moreh al Hasrara v'hait nasut. It indicates that Avraham was a very important person. He was the Avhamon Goyim. He was a leader, if you like, that's to many nations. He was like, you know, the president of the United States, not some tin pot country, you know, in the middle of nowhere. He was a very important person on the one hand. Va'atzmuto, on the other hand, in terms of his intrinsic personality, haya anav mikol, he was a very humble person. That's indicated by Avraham's statement that he's nothing other than afar va'ifeh, dust and ashes. That's something that he says in this week's parasha. So we've got two aspects to Avraham Avinu. One is, if you like, Avraham as the world leader, and the other one is Avraham as a modest individual. So that we don't think, why is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to Avraham? Is it because Avraham is an important world figure? Al kein lo amar vayira Hashem al Avraham. That's why it doesn't say that Hashem appeared to Avraham. L'horot shelo mitzad heyoto Avhamon goyim nira'i lav Hashem. Hashem didn't appear to Avraham because of his position in the world. Ki mitzad mahut atzmuto, but it's because of the type of personality that he was. Ki haya anav shafel berach. He was a very modest person. Uchmosh amru razal. This is Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. Ein hakadosh baruch hu mashresh chinato. Who does hakadosh baruch hu let his presence rest on? Ki machacham gibor asher va'anav. Needs to be a wise, strong person. Va'anav, and humble. Lekach ne'emar vayera elav. That's why it says Hashem appeared to him. Bishul atzmuto hamora al hanava, indicating that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have appeared to Avraham? Because he was a modest individual. V'lo ba'avo shmo hamora al ha'hefech. Not because of his name, his position as Avraham, which is the opposite to the type of person he really wanted to be. Avraham intrinsically was a very retiring individual. He didn't want to push himself forward. He was involved with people. He wanted to be Machnis Orachim, and he wanted to introduce people to the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he didn't see himself really as being an important person in society. He was a modest individual. The name Avraham was a title. That's saying he was a very important person in society. What the Kli Yakar is saying is if the Pasuk had said, Vayera Hashem el Avraham, we might have thought, why did Hashem address him? Because of his importance in society. Therefore, it's telling us, no, it's exactly not because of his importance in society. It's because he was a humble individual. He was, Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him. Whoever, you know, my name's not important. I don't need any titles, that sort of thing. I think this is a very sort of humbling message, very often sort of, you know, who has access to presidents and who has access to the powers of corridors of power? You know, in our world, it's very often people who are wealthy, people who've got, you know, the big connections, that who know important people. That's, it's not really supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be judging people on their merits. And that's the point. The term Avraham is a toar kavod, if you like. It's a title of prestige. And therefore, when Hashem appeared to him, he took away the title. He's appearing to him because of who he was, not the position that he held. Avraham held a position of Avhamon Goyim. He was a prince in the world. It's clear from the Pesukim that, you know, Avraham was, you know, at least a tribal chief, a tribal king. You know, the relationship we see that he had with Elimelech and with Avimelech, etc., etc., and he was a very wealthy person. All these things, you know, means he was a man of substance. But that's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him because he was God-fearing and because he was modest. And that, says the Kli Yakar, is why Avraham's name is absent from the first Pasuk. Now, let's think a bit about this vision that Avraham had, the vision of the three angels. And we're going to see in the Mefarshim, in actual fact, different ways of, different approaches to what happened here. Who were these people who appeared? Let's look at the pasuk. Vayisa'ina vayar. He raised his eyes and he saw. V'hinei shlosha anashim. There were three men, nitzavim alav, standing over him. Vayar, and he saw vayar as likrotam, and he ran to greet them, mipetach o'el, from the entrance to the tent, vayishtachu arza, and he bowed down to the ground. So the pasuk is telling us it was three anashim, three people, presumably human beings. And that certainly is what the Rashban says. Look at the Rashban. Vayira elav Hashem heyach. How did this appearance? Rashban sees Pasuk Bet as being a continuation of Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph is Hashem appeared to him. Pasuk Bet is how did that appearance take place? Shebao elav shlosha anashim shayu malachim. Three angels came to Avraham Avinu. Shebaharbe mekomot kshenireh hamalach korei blashon shechina. Very often, says the Rashbam, that we have a malach is a representative of the Shechina, of the divine presence. Kediktiv kishmi b'kibo shlucho k'moto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaliach is representing him. The chen vayira alav malach Hashem b'labateish mitoch hasneh. Just like with Moses at the burning bush. Okay, what does it say? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear to him? Vayira alav malach Hashem. It was an angel that appeared to him. Uchtiv. Sham vayar Hashem kisali ro'o. But then it says that Hashem saw what was going on. So Hashem appeared as an angel. So according to the Rashbam, Pasuk Aleph is telling us that there was an encounter between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did that encounter manifest itself? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent three angels to represent him. So these three men weren't real men. They were angels, and certainly that's the way Rashi learns it as well. Rashi learns it continuously, that, you know, these were three angels who came to visit Avraham Avinu, and certainly the Rashbam is saying it, that this was the vision that that Hashem, that Avraham had.
When has
Shaliach not represented Hashem? Yeah. That was a different type of shaliach. In terms of what we're saying here is that these angels were representatives of Hashem. Hashem sent. We want to know who were these three men. Right? What was their role? Were they real men or were they angelic? So what the Rashbam is telling us, they were angels representing Hashem. Now look at the Ralbag. Gersonides. Okay, the Ra'al Bag is going to tell us something radical. It's almost not radical because the Ramban quotes it from the Rambam as well, but it's certainly not what they tell us in Cheder. When we learn the parasha in Cheder, Avraham Avinu was visited by three angels. We don't have to believe that, okay? Because we can learn the Ra'al Bag and the Rambam. What does the Ra'al Bag said? Va'isa'inav vayar, v'inei rotzeloma, what does it mean? Ukvar nasa'inav kodem zeh, he's already lifted up his eyes. V'ra'ash lo sha'anashim, he saw three men. V'heim hayu nevi'im, they were nevi'im. They were prophets. Sorry, the Ra'al Bag is... we'll come to the Rambam's radical position in a moment. This is the Ra'al Bag. V'heim hayu nevi'im. Ki'ilu tomar shem ve'ever. Just like you'll say with shem ve'ever, right? The descendants of Noach. That im hayu nevi'im, k'mo shesipru mehem rabotenu zal. Okay, that's... Chazal tell us that shem ve'ever, they also were prophets of some sort. V'zulatam imishaya navi bizman hahu. And there were other prophets in those times. That's why when they came to Lot, they're described as being angels. Not because they were physically angels. Another word of describing a Navi is a Malach. A Malach in Hebrew has two meanings. With Yaakov, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Okay, does it mean angels or does it mean messengers? Well, in a certain sense, the two are the same. An angel is a messenger of Hashem. So a Malach is can mean a messenger. That's Kamoshes Achanu b'Sipor Hagar Hamitzrit. We find also with Hagar, there was an angel appeared to her. Well, is it likely that it was an angel that appeared to her? Well, that's what we always understood. But the Ra'al Bag is suggesting that it was actually a Navi that appeared to her. For Lonik Ru Eitzel Avraham Kiman Hashim. As far as Avraham was concerned, they were called Anashim, men, because they weren't actually sent to him. They were passing by him on their way to Lot. Avram himself was a Navi. So now we've got a sort of a progression here. The Rashbam told us that these three Anashim were angels. The Ra'al Bag is telling us they were real people, but they were Naviim. They were prophets. Now this is really interesting. Why is it really interesting that they were prophets? Because the Ra'al Bag is telling us something which, in actual fact, if we stop and think about it, certainly with rabbinic tradition, it fits in fine. That we always think of Avraham Avinu being the first Jew. Avraham Avinu being the first person who has sort of interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. We're finding in the time of Avraham Avinu, there were other Nevi'im around. He wasn't the only Navi. It's a classic question. You know, we found in last week's parasha with the war of the four kings and the five kings. And then at the end, we find Malki Tzedek, v'hu Kohen le'el Elyon. Malki Tzedek was a priest to Kel Elyon, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, Avraham Avinu wasn't the first person to discover God. And now we're finding there are other Nevi'im around, even Nevi'im that were able to possibly come and bring a message to Avraham Avinu. They did. They, you know, told him about the child that he was going to have. So now it's really interesting. We've got Nevi'im who come and tell something to Avraham Avinu. Now, the Ra'al Bag points out that Avraham was a Navi himself. So why did he need other Nevi'im? So I suppose it's like, you know, the doctor will tell us, you know, a heart specialist needs a foot specialist, and the lawyer will tell us that, you know, some lawyers need, other lawyers. So maybe some of it, you know, everybody's got their own speciality. So that's certainly possible. But it's really interesting because, first of all, if we've got other Nevi'im around, then what was the uniqueness of Avraham Avinu? If, you know, he was the one that was chosen. He was the one who discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was age 3 or 48 or however old he was. You know, now we just go, hold on a minute. He's not the first one to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it must be. I mean, we know Noach knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanoch knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Malki Tzedek presumably knew about how he was Kohen Le'el Elyon. Lots of people knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the answers that, you know, with regard to Malki Tzedek, for example, is that Avraham Avinu was the first monotheist. The others knew of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they thought there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the best god, and then there were other gods sort of helping. Whereas Avraham Avinu realized there were no other gods as well. But it's like kind of interesting. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to send a Navi to Avraham Avinu when Avraham Avinu is the supreme Navi himself? So it could be there are different types of Nevuah, different roles for Nevi'im. Certainly the Netziv says this actually with regard to next week's Seder of Chayei Sarah, with regard to Sarah and Avraham both being different, having different types of Nevuah. What's the role of a Navi? Is the Navi's role to predict the future, or is it to communicate the words of Hashem? Right, so those might be different roles which are coming up here. But in any event, the Ralbag understood that these men were real men, but they had the power of Nevuah, and they had some message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they needed to transmit. Now we have the Radak. The Radak is the more radical position, and this is... this is also the position of the Rambam, quoted by the Rambam. So it's not, sometimes you have radical positions which are hidden away, that nobody really knows about them. But, the Rambam appears on the page of every Mikra Gedolot, so it's easy to be familiar with this. But it challenges some of our preconceptions. What does the Radak say? V'tachin nefaresh, ki kol sipor hadvarim ha'eleh, adva Avraham l'shavlim komor, this whole narrative, until we find right through Avraham arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the fate of Sodom and Amorah, and 50 people, 45 people, 40, 30, 20, 10, all that entire parasha, Hayab Mare HaNevuah, it was a prophetic dream, or prophetic vision. V'akol Hayab Mare Achat, it was all one vision. V'amar, it says, Ki Kisheba Ilav Nevuah Zot, when he had this prophetic vision, Haya Yoshev Petach Ohel, he was sitting outside his Ohel. So what's the Radak telling us? That very possibly there weren't three men. Very possibly Avraham Avinu didn't prepare food for them. Very possibly they didn't eat anything. We get round the old problem of how did he give them milk and meat together. Doesn't matter, because he didn't. So it's all right. None of this actually happened. Right? So it was all a dream. He was sitting out there in the heat of the day, and he was a bit fuzzy in the head, he just had his Brit Mila, it was hot, he was ill, and he had a prophetic vision. And he heard these voices going on through his head. For Tamiz ki roka cham hayom, why does it say that it was in the heat of the day? Ki nirdam hayalacham imutam shemesh, he was falling asleep in the heat of the sun. V'ra'a hamareh hazot, and he saw this vision, v'hu nirdam, and he fell asleep. Or you're sleeping. The kodim shinti bury more bidvar Sodom. That's and before HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to him what was going to happen to Sodom, Herei bin Vuash Rosha Malachim, he showed him in a dream three prophets, etc., etc. We don't need to go through the rest of the Radak. But what we've got here is a new understanding. The new understanding being that none of this actually happened. It was just a vision that he had. There were no angels. There was no Parben Bakar being slaughtered. There was no food being given. There was no Sarah laughing from the tent. None of this actually happened. It was all in Abraham's mind, communicated to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in total, what we have is three positions. The position of the Rashbam, that these were angels who visited Avraham. The position of the Ralbag, that they were Nevi'im who visited Avraham. And the position of the Radak, that it was the whole thing was a prophetic vision. Now Rashi tells us, V'nei Shlosha Anashim, that they came with a mission, Echad Levaseret Sarah. One came to tell Sarah that she was going to have a child, ve'echad lahafoch et Sodom, one to overturn Sodom, ve'echad l'rapot et Avraham, and one to heal Avraham, she'i malach echad oseh shtei shlichiyot, because you can't have one malach do two tasks. That's a question in itself, why not? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create angels, so, create them to be able to be multitasking. That's, but a question that...
Sorry,
yeah.
Why would he... How can you get pshat to be that it's a dream when it's... Well, surely you would have phrased it in the same way they would have phrased Yaakov's dream. He very clearly says there it's a dream.
You're right. in some instances, dreams are spelled out as dreams. Here it's Vayera, Ilav Hashem. Here it's an appearance and a vision. Why doesn't it spell it out? I don't know. It's a good question. Good question against those who say certain things are dreams. The interesting thing is that there is a group of commentators who see various episodes as being dreams. You know, the other famous episodes which are seen as being dreams, the Ralbag sees Yaakov fighting with the angel as a dream and that it never actually happened. Okay, but that was a dream that Yaakov had the night before he met with his brother Esav. And we encountered this again with, this I think was the view of the Rambam and the Ralbag, with regard to Bilam's talking ass, that it never actually happened. And again, it was all a dream that Bilam had the night before he set off with Balak. I think what we have is a group of commentators who prefer to minimise supernatural events. Right? So it just sort of seems so strange, you know, what's going on here. And so a comfortable way, a rational way of understanding it is that it was a prophetic vision rather than something actually happened. Otherwise, you have too many questions. You know, if it's angels, what are the angels doing eating? You know, that sort of question coming up here. Okay. Question that we should ask on Rashi is that one of the angels is coming of Aseret Haran. That's clear from the Pesukim. The Pesukim are telling us that, you know, telling Avraham and Sarah that they're going to have children. But we know that from last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha, they were told they were going to have children. And they were pretty much told the details, you know, and Sarah laughed then. So why is it being repeated? Why is it being repeated here? So some of the commentaries on Rashi point out that last week's parasha was in general terms. This week's parasha, they're coming back to tell her exactly when it's going to happen. It's going to be Ka'et Hazot, this time next year. Let's go on. Vayikach chema v'chalav. So Abraham took chema, butter, the chalav and milk, uven havakar asher asah, and the calf that he prepared, vayitein lifnehem, and he put it before them, v'hu omeid aleihem, and he stood over them, tachat ha'eitz, whilst they were under the tree, vayochelu, and they ate. Let me say a borei nefashot before I forget. Baruch atah Adonai, elohim melech haolam, borei nefashot rabot, kashanim kol mashma atah, adonai nefesh chai, baruch chai olamim. I want to show you here just a machloket between Rashi and the Rashbam, how to understand this pasuk, and it's a very helpful machloket because it illustrates for us how Rashi, whenever he's got a question, will turn to an agadav chazal to answer it, whereas Rashbam is much more tied down to the pshat and is just going to give a logical answer. We'll talk a little bit about these two differences in approach. So vaykach chema, Rashi points out, v'lechem lo heviu, that previously Avraham had said, v'kafat lechem, let me take a piece of some bread, v'sadu lechem, and then you'll be able to eat. Here, v'lechem lo heviu, but we see, hold on, what happens in the end? He said he would bring bread, but he didn't bring bread. It says, v'kachem avachalav, he took the butter, that's all the yogurt and the milk. No mention of the bread. V'lechem lo heviu, they didn't bring the bread. L'fisha pirsa Sarah nida, because Sarah became a nida on that day. Shechazar la orach kanashim oto hayom, so she, because she regained her youthful fertility on that day. V'nitmeita isa, and the bread became impure, and therefore the dough became impure, and therefore Avraham Avinu didn't want to serve it to his guests. He was a makpid to only eat things which weren't tamei. So Rashi's got a problem. Rashi's looking at the pasuk. He's saying, Avraham previously had said he'll bring bread. No mention of the bread here. There must be a reason why there's no bread. It's not because the dough fell That's because I didn't listen carefully enough at the Challah Bake last week, or something like that. So it's not because that's while he was getting the meat ready, you know, the kids around the house came and ate all the bread, or something like that. There must be a reason why there's no mention of the bread. He'll draw on Midrashi Chazal and tell us it's because Sarah became a Nida on that day. Look at the Rashbam. Rashbam is addressing the same question. Rafi Pshuto Shel Mikra. Let's just be interested in the pshat. Lo hutzrach lefarei shevi et hapat lechem al ha-shulchan. Doesn't need to say that he brought the bread. Ela ha-tosefet shelo amar lahem. He said he'll bring the bread, so presumably he brought the bread. Now telling us, in addition to what he promised them, he's bringing them extra stuff as well. Shutzrach lomar shehevi. That's why it needs to mention it. Havat pat al ha-shulchan einu chidush. The bread on the table isn't a chidush. All these other things which weren't mentioned, which they didn't order, as it were, not all guests get. It needs to mention it. It's a bit like if, you know, we've all got, you know, some, usually an Israeli relative, you know, they invite you round for, you know, for tea or for, you know, for coffee, you know, so you think you're going to get a cup of coffee and a rogolach. You know, they put on this, you know, major sister, you know, when you tell the rest of the family, went to see cousin Sharon, whatever, in Herzliya. You should see what she brought out. There was cakes and pastries and watermelon and this and that. And you forget to mention the cup of coffee and the rogolach because, yeah, of course there was a cup of coffee in the Rogler, because that's what she invited us for. But, you know, there's, you know, enough food there to feed the whole of Tzahal. And that's what gets mentioned. So with Avraham Avinu also, yeah, of course there was the bread. But he didn't bring the bread, so fine, he brought the bread. But you know what, he also brought other things as well. So it's just particularly interesting. I think this is a very good illustration of how different Mefarshim are addressing the same question, and depending on, you know, whether they're willing to answer the questions themselves or whether they feel that every, if you like, ellipsis in the text is going to be addressed by Chazal, will lead them to different answers. Tal.
Just a quick one. From the Rashi that's written here, how do we know that we got it from Agadic tradition?
That's
usually he does reference.
Rashi often doesn't give the references that others did. So we could look in an annotated Rashi, and it would tell us, you know, exactly where it's from. Okay, we're going to miss out the dialogue that Avraham Avinu has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the argument about saving the city of Sodom. But I want to bring to your attention a very interesting passage here in Rebbe Yaakov Kamenetsky's Emet Liakov on why HaKadosh on this debate between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're told in the Pesukim, Vayakum Mishama Anashim, so the men got up and left Avraham Avinu, Vayashkifu Al Pnei Sodom, and they looked towards Sodom, Avraham Olechim Am L'Shalacham, and Avraham accompanied them to send them off. Adonai Amar, and Hashem said, Hamchase Ani Me Avraham, Asher Ani Oseh, should I conceal from Avraham what I'm going to do? Let's look at what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says. Very thought-provoking. Hinei B'Psukim HaKodmim, the previous P'sukim, right, Avraham and the angels, or whoever they were, Hitziga Lanu HaTorah Midat HaKnasat Orchim Shel Avraham Avinu. The Torah has shown us Avraham Avinu as a machnis orchim, as a person who was extremely generous with his hospitality. V'tekaf la'achar zeh, what do we find immediately afterwards? Mefaretet ha-Torah et ma'asei Sodom. The Torah tells us about Sodom. She'ikar ketam haya b'achnasat orchim. We know what was Sodom's worst failing. You know, they were so horrible to guests. You know, we know the sorts of things that Chazal tell us that Sodom did, besides what their name implies, but in terms of, you know, hachnasat orchim, you know, stretching the visitors, you know, to make them fit the bed, or cutting their feet off if they were too long, not letting them have salt, you know, all these sorts of things. They were the antithesis of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu loved guests. Anshei Sodom hated guests. Utfilat Avraham l'hatzilam. Nevertheless, Avraham Avinu prayed to save them. Uvemet teva kol adam. What's natural, our natural inclinations? How are we generally wired? Shem hu zahir beizor mitzvah. If a person is very careful about a particular mitzvah, az hu margish chisaron ota mitzvah itzel achirim. Then if other people don't keep that mitzvah, you know, then you think they're really terrible. La'avon hayotecham, you think it's absolutely terrible. He gives the example. Person who every week makes sure, you know, even in the winter, you know, makes sure he eats sudash lishit. Somebody else who just has a piece of fruit or a piece of cake, he thinks they're not from. Person who doesn't, you know, never talk during Chazarat Hashatz, thinks anybody else who talks, you know, must be the incarnation of, you know, all evil, right? So Avraham Avinu, he's machnis arachim. He'll do anything to bring guests in. How would we expect him to feel about Anshei Sodom? We would expect him to feel good riddance to them. They deserve this. That's like, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited till now? Avraham Avinu was the really the manifestation of kindness in the world. That's he even thought that maybe he shouldn't do his Brit Milah publicly. He was concerned that perhaps this would impinge on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation as being a Baal Chesed, etc., etc. That's, and the point that Rebbe Yaakov Kamenetsky is making here is that this is the gadlus of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was able to be even able to be nice about people he, in principle, despised. That's exactly the point. He despised them in principle, but not in practice. I think that's a really powerful message, you know, about Avraham Avinu's gadlus. That's okay. We know he was a Baal Chesed, okay, but to be able to see that somebody who disdained what he believed in was still worthy of salvation. You know, he was willing to put, you know, argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for people he thought were totally wrong. And people he thought were, you know, people who needed salvation, people who were bad people, you know, but, you know, you expect, okay, Avraham Avinu is going to put himself out, you know, for, you know, a person who's, you know, a bit frum, you know, but, you know, Avraham Avinu, you know, was really frum. So, okay, the person who only daven shacharit, not mincha and maariv, so Avraham Avinu will have out. But the person who goes to work on Shabbos, you expect him to help him out. And I think this is a very important lesson for us on many levels. Now, the, that's Avraham Avinu wanted to have the city saved, and he bargained with HaKadosh Baruch until they got down to the last 10. When they realized there weren't 10 righteous people, that's then Avraham gave up the fight. Now, why did Avraham Avinu not fight? You know, why didn't he say, well, save the city even if there's only, you know, 5 righteous people or 9 righteous people? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ulayimatzun shamasara." Our pachat lo bikesh. He didn't ask, you know, the city be saved, even in the merit of less than 10, because Amar he said, "Dor hamabul hayuchet." The generation of the flood, there were 8 righteous people: Noach uvanav unshehem, Noach and his sons, and their respective wives. V'lo hitzilu al doram. That's they didn't manage to save their generation. V'al tet alidei tziruf k'var bikesh lo matzah. And he's tried, you know, thinking about, well, 9 plus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should work. And it hasn't worked. So 9 or 8, you know, less HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly isn't going to work. So that's Rashi's just really telling us that Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't save the world for less than 10 people. If we look in the Chama Leibovitz, she identifies another reason why less than 10 people don't work to save the city. It's the repetition implied in the employing of both in Sodom and in the city. If you look through the psukim, we haven't got the psukim in front of us. Some of the psukim say bistom, and some of the psukim say ba'ir. That provides our commentators with the clue. Ibn Ezra briefly but significantly reveals the all-important implications of this repetition. The word, for the reason for the words within the city, implies that they fear the Lord in public. What's our pasuk? Let's just look at the pasuk exactly, because we'll see that Avraham Avinu is saying. Perhaps there are 50 righteous people betochair in the city. Okay, right in the city. That's and that's the emphasis that the Ibn Ezra is looking at. Okay, within the city, meaning not tucked away in a corner somewhere. In the middle of the city, you've got X number of righteous people. In other words, the few can turn the scales and save the place. If the righteous individuals concerned are within the city, playing a prominent part in public life and exerting their influence in its many fields of activity. But if they merely exist, living in retirement and never venturing forth, but pursuing their pious conduct unseen and unknown, they will perhaps save themselves, but will certainly not possess the spiritual merit capable of protecting the city. The same city which forces the righteous few into retirement, so their scrupulous moral standards should not interfere with the injustice dominating public life, that same city is not entitled to claim salvation by virtue of the handful of righteous men leading a secluded life within it. I mean, if you've only got, you know, 7, 8, 9 people, they're going to be living as individuals. They're going to be tucked away in corners out of sight. They might be very pious, they might be very righteous, but they're not betochair. They're not able to make an impact on society. Once you've got the 10, and they form a group, and they're able to support each other, and they're able to be public, so then it can have an impact on the society. Now, that's, of course, the subtext of what she's saying, is that, a hermit's existence is not contributing anything to the welfare of society. You know, to be righteous, it's good to be righteous, but you need to be righteous in a way that it's going to impact on others as well. And you've got to be muravim habriyot. You've got to be associated with other people. That's the only way it'll have an impact. If you think that, you know, sitting in your daladamot and being righteous and learned and pious is going to have an impact on everybody else, then that's not true. Minimally, they have to be able to learn from you and from your conduct in some way. So I suppose when you've got the 10 people, they're able to support each other, they don't have to go into hiding, and then therefore they can make an impact on everybody else. In any event, Avraham Avinu didn't win the argument. That's Vayelech Hashem Kasheh Kilal Daber El Avraham. So when Hashem finished speaking to Avraham, he went. For Avraham Shav Limkomov. And Avraham returned to his place. Went back to where he came from. Rashi gives us, I would say, quite a dejected interpretation of this. Vayelech Hashem, Kevan Shenishtatek HaSanigor, Halach Lo HaDayan. Once the defense counsel has closed his files and said, I've got nothing else to say. Halach Lo HaDayan, then the judge goes home. For Avraham Shav Limkomon. Avraham returned to where he came from. Nistalek HaDayan, Nistalek HaSanigor. Once the judge is gone, then the defense counsel may as well go home. He can't do anything anymore. Vakasekom Katreg, and the prosecutor can jump around with glee and, sing to the gallows. And therefore the two angels were able to go on to Sodom, Lashkit, to cause destruction. So this is like Avraham Avinu going home defeated. And, you know, the Pasuk, you know, always feels very empty. That's sort of, you know, when you lane it. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't accept what Avraham Avinu has said. It's the end of Sheni. Avraham shav limkomo, and Avraham just had to turn around, go home, and the unfortunate turn of events. If we look though at what Rav Moshe Sternbach says in Tam Vadat, we see that actually there's another way of spinning this, and it's actually not necessarily as downbeat as Rashi would have us believe. Let's see what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. Umvuerit bazem alachol shel Avraham Avinu. This stark phrase, Avraham shavlim komo, demonstrates to us, illustrates for us, the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Da'af shezeh ataz zachah liglui shechina. Just now he's had a prophetic vision. Umalachim ba'u lehodio ratzono yibarach shemo. And angels have come to tell him what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans on doing. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimlachimo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has discussed the matter with him. Umuchan la'asot ratzono. And has shown a willingness that if Avraham can show him that there are 50 people there, or 40 people there, or 30, whatever, how many righteous people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown a willingness for some flexibility. B'chol zot ne'emar bo, she'shav limkomo. Nevertheless, we're told that Avraham Avinu shav limkomo, went back to where he came from. V'hainu she'lo bachar lifrosh me'inyanei ha'olam hazeh. He didn't decide that, okay, I'm now going, you know, I'm too elevated to have anything to do with this world. Well, it's my secular lidvekus. I need to devote the rest of my life just to hit bodudut and cleaving to Hashem. Elahu chazal itaseik kimikodem. He went back to doing exactly what he was doing previously. Pachnasat orchim. He was doing hachnasat orchim, kariv hanashim lishchina, and bringing people close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He could have found, delegated the responsibility to others. And this is actually like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu being simultaneously great and humble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great and awesome and magnificent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also helps that and loves the stranger to give them bread and clothing. And that's exactly what righteous people want to do. They want to replicate the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that exactly is their greatness. Avraham Avinu has just, you know, he's had HaKadosh Baruch Hu discussing with him, you know, almost as it were saying, listen, Avraham, you know, I just want to let you know what I'm planning. I feel I ought to run it by you. Avraham Avinu raises some issues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses those issues, shows a willingness for flexibility. You know, we don't all get that opportunity to discuss things with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. Okay? Avraham Avinu might well have felt at this stage, and this is to some degree what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu became removed from the people. Avraham Avinu didn't. Avraham Shavlim Komo. Even though he'd had this magnificent, you know, interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shavlim Komo, and I would add to what Rav Moshe Sternbach says, even though he'd had no success in his argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avraham Avinu, actually, what did he do? He went back and carried on as he'd been living his life before, not oblivious to, not untouched by what had happened, but carrying on with all the good deeds with people that he'd experienced previously. He didn't feel in any way he was greater than them. I actually remember Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Olav Racha, giving a very similar sicha, actually on a similar phrase at the end of the Sedra, where after the Akedah, Vayashof Avraham El Maharav, that's after the Akedah, what did Avraham Avinu do? He went back to his lads, and he went back to Be'er Sheva. That's, he'd had this, you know, amazing spiritual experience, and he went back to carrying on doing the good work that he'd always been doing previously. And that, so it's not Vayashav Avraham Limkomor being a Avraham Shav Limkomor being a dejected return to normality, but it's been, if you like, it's an inspired return to normality. Okay? He now feels all the more so I've got to carry on doing God's work and bringing people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's finish off with a thought about the Akedah. The classic question with the Akedah, one of the classic questions about the Akedah, Vahi Achar Dvarim Ha'ileh, behold, it was after these things, Vahai Elohim Nisai Et Avraham, Vayomer Elav Avraham, Vayomer Enini. And Hashem tested Avraham, and he said to him, Avraham, and Avraham said, here I am. Classic question is, what sort of test does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to do to Avraham Avinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-knowing. It's a test. You give a person a driving test to see if they can drive the car. Will they succeed? Won't they succeed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to test Avraham Avinu. That's it's like the man who's got the job to test every match in a box. That's make sure they work. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Avraham Avinu is going to rise to the occasion. So what does it mean for Ha'elokim Nisai Avraham? So we've looked, I think, at this question on previous occasions and seen various answers. I want us to look tonight at the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, who's going to, again, challenge our preconceptions a bit. First thing he tells us is, Kol Makom She'ne'emar Achar HaDvarim Ha'eileh, wherever an episode is introduced with the words Achar HaDvarim Ha'eileh, Mechubar Ala Parasha She'lemala, it means that it's a continuation of, or it's associated at least, with the previous passage in Chumash. Otherwise, it would just start the next thing. Achar HaDvarim Ha'eileh means, so after this happened, the next thing happened. One is a consequence of the other. Achar HaDvarim Ha'eileh, so after what things? What are we referring to? Sharag Avram et Amalachim, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al tira Avram min ha'umot. So after Avraham had killed the kings in last week's Sedra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, don't be afraid of the nations of the world. And then after that, Shenolad Yitzchak, Yitzchak was born. What the Rashbam is pointing out to us is that we've got various pesukim which tell us that certain things happened after other things. Nolad Yitzchak, Yitzchak was born. Vayugad Avraham Lemor Oduv Tuel Yaladit Rivka. And later on it was told to Avraham that Betuel bore Rivka. V'chein achar advarim ha'eileh, you find the expression achar advarim ha'eileh, shegid Mordechai b'gtan v'teresh, meaning that after Mordechai had told about b'gtan and teresh, gidal ha'melech ha'chashverosh et Haman. The next bit is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promoted Haman. Sheratzal aroget Mordechai, who wanted to kill Mordechai, v'hoilu ma'sheitzilet ha'melech, v'nitzle Haman. And therefore the fact that Avraham Avinu, that Mordechai at Tzadik had saved Achashverosh, that's helped him. So he's just pointing out, we've got repeated times where it says Achar HaDvarim Ha'eileh. In each of these cases, it means the second thing is a consequence or is linked in somehow to what comes before it. So Afkan, here also, Achar HaDvarim, after the previous passage, which was Shekarat Avraham Barit L'Avimelech, Avraham had made a covenant with Avimelech, Lo Olinino Nechto, for him and his grandson and his great-grandson, Shel Avraham, V'natan Lo Sheva Kvasot Hatzon, and Avraham had given that Avimelech seven heads of sheep, the Chara Apo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Avraham for this, for making this covenant, this treaty with Avimelech. Sharei Eretz Plishtim Bichlal Gvul Yisrael. Eretz Plishtim, the Philistine area, actually is part of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivah Lehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about these areas, Lo Techayek Kol Neshama, that, you know, anybody who opposes your rule over them, you're not allowed to let them live. And in the Sefer Yehoshua, they, you know, put lots on the areas of the five Plishti officers. Meaning that these were areas which belonged to Am Yisrael. The Philistine areas is part of Eretz Yisrael. Lachem v'haylokim nisa et Abraham. What does it mean, Hashem nisa et Abraham? We've always thought it means Hashem tested Abraham. The Rashbam is telling us, kintarov et si'aro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu aggravated and pained him. Kedichtayev hanisadvar elecha tala'a, al nasotam et Hashem, masa umariva, b'koneini Hashem unaseini. All sorts of examples in Tanakh where the word nasa means to antagonize or to aggravate. That's koloma nit gaya nit gaita prevention shenativ lichrot brit b'nechem uvein b'nechem. That's saying that Avraham Avinu, you know, what's going on here? You know, he's making a covenant. He's now got a son, so he can make a covenant between his descendants and Avimelech's descendants. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, well, actually, go and offer him up as a sacrifice. Let's see what this covenant is, how this covenant is going to help you. You might lose your son. What's the point being? Avraham Avinu had made a covenant with Avimelech that Avimelech would be able to keep the Plishti land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, hold on a minute. Plishti land is yours. What are you making covenants about it? This covenant you're making between your future... you've got future generations now, have you? Let's see about that. Mountain over there, take him and kill him. That's right. Don't translate it as Hashem tested Avraham. Translate it as Hashem aggravated Avraham. And he shows that that's a fine translation, because we find that lots of places in Tanakh where this root means to aggravate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu aggravated Avraham Avinu. That's, he wasn't testing him, he was aggravating him. He was punishing him. Avraham Avinu had been out of order. He'd been promised something by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's now making covenants about this area that, you know, giving other people rights of residency. He had no right to do that. He was backing up his covenant with, you know, promises about his future generation. Oh, because now he's got a son. Forget it, we can turn the tables pretty quickly. And that is, of course, a very different way of understanding behind the Kimni Sinai Abraham and the whole purpose of the Akedah. And then the Akedah purpose was, at the end, Avraham Avinu, you know, we see that, okay, he's obedient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's very great, and he's willing to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs of him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that he really does have faith in him, so then at the last minute he says, fine, stop. You know, and, you know, you've learned your lesson. And Yitzchak, of course, is yours. So that brings us to an end for Parashat Vayera. Lots of stuff in the middle which we haven't exactly addressed tonight, but a very full Sedra. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, Parashat Chayes.